Text messages. They're a regular part of life in our modern world. When your phone beeps, when your phone vibrates, someone is sending you a message. But imagine receiving a message different to any other message. A message that seemed too good to be true. A message that would transform your life. A message that would totally change your outlook. That would cause you to sit up in bed. That would cause you to stop everything you were doing. That would cause you to jump with and cry with excitement and joy. That would cause you to tell others around you. That would cause you to say, "This is the best day of my life." This day, Easter Sunday, just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus' followers received that message. A message like that, not by text, but from two angels and then from Jesus himself. A message that said, "The grave is empty. He is risen." The women received the message at first. Peter and John were skeptical and they were disbelieving at first. But they soon realized, as time went on, that this was no scam. This was for real. The grave is empty. He is risen. Still today, the impact of that message is making a very real difference in the lives of people. Typically in our Sunday service, regular Sunday services, we have a segment that we call Church Family News. And that's a time when, I guess, important things in the life of the church that are happening are communicated. But today, Easter Sunday, there is nothing more important than the news. The grave is empty. He is risen. So before I share from God's word on that, I'd like to hear what that news means to you. I'd like to give the opportunity for any of us to share in a few words or a few sentences. What does the message, "The grave is empty, he is risen," mean to you? How has the impact of that message made a difference in your life? Church Family News with a Difference, on a day different to any other Sunday, Easter Sunday. So as you reflect a little on the video clip we've just seen, and reflect on the words, "The grave is empty, he is risen." What does that mean to you? Is there anyone in a few words or in a few sentences who would like to share what that means to you and the difference that has made to your life? I give that opportunity before I share from God's word on that this morning. Anyone, a few words, a few sentences, what does the message of Easter Sunday mean to you and your life?
I got up early this morning and watched the sun come up, and I began to realize he is risen. And it was a most wonderful experience, and it's just filling me right now as I realize this more and more. Thank you.
Yeah, the sun rose, S-U-N, but the Son of God, S-O-N, rose this day. Thanks, Betty. Anyone else in a few words, a few sentences? Anything about Easter Sunday that the grave is empty, he is risen?
I was only 14 years old when the Saviour came into my heart and the whole room lit up. It was just the most glorious experience. I just felt I was being lifted up, and it stayed with me for the whole of my life so far.
Wonderful. Thank you, Greta.
Best words my late brother gave to me was, "Well, move forward, Lilith, move forward." As we get older, or as I get older, the more I realise my failures and regrets. And I think he is risen is the same thing as saying, move forward. Don't look back. Don't hold on to regrets, disappointments. Move forward.
Amen. Thanks, Lilith.
I lost my father recently, and it's the first time that I've lost anyone close to me. And Easter Sunday means that he's not really gone, that he has been saved, and we'll see him again as well as seeing Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
I was trying to explain this to my children on Friday when we were reading about the death of Jesus, and it's a mysterious thing, the rising of Christ, and it's the basis of our faith, and hard to communicate that to most adults, and I pray that my 14 and 12 year olds will get it one day, but it certainly gives me hope, and the rising of Jesus gives me hope.
Thanks, Murray.
I'm just realising the need to pass on this great message, which I have failed at doing, and especially my brother and sister.
Thanks, Ross. Peter and John were just two of Jesus' followers who were transformed by the message that Jesus had risen. But when you take a closer look at that transformation for them, it didn't happen straight away. It took some time for it to sink in. It took some time for them to get it. In the reading that Karen read from Luke 24, verse 11 and 12, on that first Easter Sunday, this was their response. They did not believe the women. Their words seemed to them like nonsense. These were two of Jesus' closest followers, for whom the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, they did not believe it. It seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. For some of you here this morning, the message of Jesus rising from the dead has become real to you. But for others of you, maybe it hasn't quite sunk in to your life yet, like Peter and John that first Easter Sunday. Maybe you're still wondering about it, with lots of questions still. As Marie said, it's not an easy thing to take in. It's not an easy thing to comprehend. That was the case for even Peter and John at the start. But then as you come to the book of Acts in the second reading that Karen brought to us, you see two people with a totally different perspective. Not only had the message, the grave is empty, he has risen, sunk in and totally changed their life. They were sharing that message, picking up on what Roz just shared with us. They were sharing that message and they were seeing it make a difference in the lives of others. So what was it in that message? What is it in that message that brings such transformation? Three things that we're briefly going to look at this morning: a relationship, a resurrection, and a restoration. Let's start with the relationship. First, a relationship. Many people, even today, but across the course of a year, here in the community around us, in the world around us, many people participate in religious rituals and rites. But religion or rituals do not transform people. Only a relationship with Jesus transforms people. Religions of the world all have at the core of their message trying to reach and appease God through rituals, rules, or regulations. Christianity, though, is different. It has at the core of its message a relationship with a person, a relationship with the person of Jesus who lived, who died, and who rose again, who was the Son of God. And it was Peter and John's relationship with Jesus that made all the difference to their lives. When you read on in Acts, what could people around them tell? They could tell that their relationship with Jesus was real and life-transforming. It led to the healing of this man who'd been crippled. It led to others putting their faith in Jesus as well. As we read on through Acts into Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note of what? That these men had been with Jesus. They knew that their relationship with Jesus had made a difference in their life. Religion didn't do that. In fact, religion did the very opposite. Religion bound people up and religion burdened people instead of transforming them. And religion still does the same today. So I want to ask you very simply this morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know Jesus instead of just knowing about him? Just because you're at church on Easter Sunday does not mean that you're in a personal living relationship with Jesus that makes a difference to your daily life, as it came to do for Peter and John. A relationship with Jesus does not change our life circumstances, does not make our problems disappear. But what it does do is that it allows us to look at life with a new perspective and gives us hope for the future. It transforms who we are and it gives new meaning and purpose to our lives. A relationship with Jesus makes a world of difference. But alongside that, so does the resurrection of Jesus. Because death has come to everyone who has ever lived, even Jesus. He died. He wasn't just swooned or anything else. He really died. Jesus' death rocked those who were closest to him, like Peter, like John. But Jesus rising from the dead is something altogether different. Yes, Jesus had brought Lazarus back from the dead, which was remarkable enough. But to rise from the dead yourself, never to die again, as was true of Jesus, that changes everything. No other religious leader, Buddha or Muhammad or anyone else, rose from the dead. Jesus' resurrection set him apart as unique. He did what no one else could do. He proved himself to be God. And to be able to hold the key of death. Death is one of life's most feared things. To be able to hold the key to death and life beyond death is what Jesus and Jesus alone holds because of his resurrection that first Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus transformed the grave from being a dead-end street to a drive-through into life like never before, eternal life. Not only for Jesus, but for any of us who have come into a relationship with him. As Jesus himself said in John chapter 11, in verses 24 and 25, and this was just after he had raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus said this in John chapter 11, verse 25, to one of Lazarus' sisters. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." And a couple of chapters further on, in John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus says, "Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Billy Graham, someone who is well known across this world for many years, who's now nearing, he's into his mid-90s in the later stages of his life on this earth. But he once said this. He said, "When you hear the news that I am dead, do not believe it, because never will I be more alive than at that point when my life on earth comes to an end." Billy Graham has that living hope because of Jesus' resurrection. And as we heard this morning in that sharing time, so can any of us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 describe that. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into what? Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Reincarnation does not bring transformation. Resuscitation does not bring transformation, but resurrection does. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead brings transformation. It did for Peter and John. It did in turn for this crippled man, not just for their lives, yes, for their lives beyond this earth, but for their lives on this earth as well. Because they lived like never before. Why? Because Jesus' resurrection totally changed them. Has it changed you? Has it transformed your life? A relationship with Jesus transforms. The resurrection of Jesus transforms. And the third element of this message that transforms is the restoration that Jesus offers. I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with the Japanese art of, I only know one word in Japanese, konnichiwa, the greeting, but there's a Japanese art called kintsugi. And that Japanese art, what it's all about is restoring broken pottery. And it restores broken pottery with lacquer or liqueur that's mixed with gold and silver and platinum. And what it does is it sees both breakage and restoration as part of the journey of a valuable object. And so it transforms what is messed up and broken into an even more valuable and beautiful object than it was before it was broken. It does that through adding this mix of gold and silver and platinum into the breakages and into the cracks and making it look even more beautiful. Mistakes, messing things up, brokenness. That's all a part of the journey of each of us as people as well in life. And yet we as people are valuable, so valuable, every one of us to God. And the message of Jesus is one of restoration, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. Think of Peter, who we're thinking of Peter and John particularly this morning, but Peter denied Jesus, not just once, but three times. In John chapter 18, verses 25 to 27, let me just read those verses to you to give you just a little bit of a picture of how much Peter messed things up. I won't read the first denial, but then we come to it happened once, then we come to the second and third. Peter was still standing there warming himself, so they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. It didn't get much worse than this. But even this did not stop the resurrected Jesus from offering Peter a fresh start. Saying to Peter, "I want to restore you." And he restored him with love that was mixed with forgiveness, with grace and with trust. And he transformed what was broken and messed up in his life, full of regret and shame, into something more beautiful than ever. And we read of that in John chapter 21, where Jesus restores Peter. Jesus' message to you, whoever you are, whatever you've done this Easter Sunday, is that no matter how great your regret or your mistake, no matter how broken you might feel, no matter how much you might feel you've blown it, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, wants to restore you. He wants to transform your life to be all that he has for it to be. He wants to do that through his love, mixed with forgiveness, mixed with grace, mixed with trust. That is a life-transforming message. It was for Peter, and it can be for you as well. When you typically receive a text message, what do you do with it? Most people respond. What will you do with the message that transforms? The greatest message of all, the message of Jesus, of relationship, of restoration, and of resurrection. Will you respond to Jesus? Have you responded to Jesus? Have you said yes to Jesus' invitation into a relationship with him? To his making possible what seemed impossible, resurrection from the dead that gives us life. To his incredible restoring of what is broken in our lives into something beautiful. What better day to make a fresh start, to respond to that invitation than Easter Sunday? I invite you now to bow your heads with me as I give you that opportunity and as I lead in prayer. The grave is empty. He is risen. What a message it is. A life-transforming message. Still today for each one of us. I invite you this morning, I give you that opportunity this morning to respond to that message. Not from me. It's not an invitation from me. It's not a response to me. It's an invitation from the risen Jesus and an opportunity to respond to him. It's not about religion, but about relationship. It's an opportunity to recognize that Jesus is God, to acknowledge that, that death even he was able to conquer, and the incredible nature of Jesus' resurrection, and to affirm the fresh start that Jesus offers and the restoration, no matter how much we mess up, no matter how much we blow it, no matter how much regret might be there in our lives. And so I invite you to pray with me this morning as a way of responding to Jesus' invitation. Jesus, thank you so much for your life, for your love, your life that involved not only your death but your resurrection. It's amazing. But even more amazing is that you invite us into a relationship with you. Even more amazing is that you give us the opportunity to have a fresh start, to be restored, and to have the sure hope of resurrection, so that sin and death does not have to hold us in our grip, so that we can have hope for life on this earth and hope beyond it. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. I respond to your invitation in faith and in trust out of all that you've made possible for me. Thank you for the significance of this day, Easter Sunday, and that can make a very real difference to my life, just like it has for others. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, then I invite you to just share that, just as you go this morning, to say, I prayed that prayer, to share that with me or with someone else, so that we can continue to encourage you in steps forward as Lilith shared, moving forward from this day on into all that God has for you. Lord God, thank you for all that you have for each one of us in life. Life on this earth and life beyond it. Thank you that you are the one that holds the key. Help us to, out of this day, just move forward into all that you have for each one of us. A glorious, glorious future. A purpose and meaning to life on this earth and beyond it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray this. Jesus, who is our Saviour, who died and rose again, and gives us hope and life. In his name we pray.